There's a new neighbor in town. The Lutheran Federal Credit Union is open and ready to serve members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Lutheran Federal Credit Union provides checking and savings accounts, home, car, and personal loans, on-demand mobile banking, 30,000 ATMs, and 5,000 in the co-op shared network. You'll find the modernized banking experience you need with excellent customer service and security you expect at LutheranFCU.org. LutheranFCU.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're broadcasting from the 66th Convention of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod in Milwaukee on this Sunday night, July the 10th. And we're going to talk a little bit about this convention, what happened today in the first day of regular business. Actually, a lot of business has been going on leading up to this, but it's not the regular convention until the gavel sounds, what happened after the gavel today, and what of importance is likely to happen or at least be considered in the coming week. Dr. Martin Nolan joins us. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Evansville, Indiana, and past director of the Concordia Historical Institute. Marty, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's great to be here this evening.
What happened today? First day, you'd expect things to kind of ramp up slowly, but that's not how we do things in our conventions. We start electing significant leaders. What happened today?
The first thing actually preceded the convention. For those that don't know how we do this, in the last couple of conventions, we have been electing our president before the convention electronically. And the intent was to give wider representation. So right now, every one pastor out of every congregation and one layman who went to their district convention last year are the electors, and they go online in a couple of day period, and then they elect the president of the synod. And Matt Harrison was reelected. Maybe you've mentioned that to your hearer as your audience before. And so we came to the convention here knowing that, which a couple of conventions ago was not the case, and that really the first real order of business was electing the president. And it was a big thing because, you know, tensions were high and emotions were strong, and nobody knows. I mean, you really don't know. You can ask former presidents who thought they'd be reelected. You don't know if you're going to have an office again. But this time, because of the new procedure, we begin the convention, and we know who the president for the next 3 years is, which is Matthew Harrison. So that kind of changes the way we do things and the whole the tenor. So it's not so much anxiety and distress and division that starts the convention, but really it starts with worship. And we had a wonderful worship service, communion service, which is what our Lutherans do. We all sing our common hymns out of the hymn book. Wonderful worship. The Milwaukee congregations came together and gave, well, I think about 20 congregations gave people from their choirs and their brass. And it's just, for Lutherans, it's an uplifting thing. It's just a wonderful way to start a convention, because it's what we're all about, proclaiming Jesus and talking about our mission to the world. And President Harrison gave a dynamic sermon. The word we all pulled away from that was revoco, and probably he explained that to your readers before this. He talked about the challenges that Martin Luther had and the challenges that we have today. And that was great, because instead of everybody being worried about who's going to be the next president, we know who the president is. He preaches at the opening sermon, and he kind of guides us into, you know, what are the challenges that we are really facing in the next triennium, in the next decade, and how, on the basis of those challenges, can we plan our work as a church? I think maybe that isn't what originally the people that made these changes about electing the president beforehand had in mind, but I think it's worked out wonderfully. So we really started out with a wonderful worship service, a sermon giving us direction as a synod. And then we start getting into the nitty-gritty. Do you want me to go into that of that?
Well, today there are other leaders to be elected, and some
right. Okay, so then after the election of the president was announced, which is really the first item of business, Then we had the election of vice presidents. And in the Missouri Synod now, we have five regions throughout the United States. And this was done a number of years ago. Those that don't know it, it was done to try to represent all the regions because, you know, originally the Missouri Synod is a Midwestern denomination, and we still have that in our title with the name of Missouri. And so the idea of regionalization was to get at various levels, first on the level of the vice presidents and then on the board of directors and maybe in some other places, representation from all parts of the country. And so in the election of vice presidents, who are vice presidents in the line of succession, in other words, if something happens to Matt Harrison, the first vice president steps up. And if something happens to him, then the second vice president. We have a line of five of those. We've never had to use that many, but that's what we do. And now they're regional people. So it's kind of a different thing than we did maybe 10 years ago. And see who was elected. I think all the incumbents were reelected to be, yeah, that's right. Pastor Eskett was the newest guy on the block. Bob Kuhn had been president for about 6 months after President Barry died. Bob Kuhn had been vice president for the East-Southeast region, excuse me, and recently resigned. He's getting older and health reasons involved. And so Christopher Eskett from Alexandria, Virginia, which is near Washington, D.C., was appointed to fill out the vacancy, and at this convention he was elected to represent that region. So that was the one that was not really a total incumbent. He wasn't elected at the last convention, but he will now serve as, I don't know the numbering of all of them. Anyway, after the president of the synod was announced, then you had the first vice president, Herb Mueller, incumbent, was reelected. And then the second vice president will now be Scott Murray of Houston, Texas. Third vice president, fourth, fifth, I don't remember the ordering on that, but Daniel Preuss was reelected to be central vice president. John Woolrobby, Great Lakes. Nabil Naour in Great Plains. And Scott Murray was west-southwest. So that was the actual elections that took place today. We also did a little bit of work on the secretary, the nominations for that. And then we had three or four floor committees that brought some business. Nothing really contentious today. A good way to start looking at our mission work, national, international missions, our Reformation floor committee that talks about the celebrations next year, Reformation 500. And that was pretty much the business today.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue with what the biggest issues facing this convention as it meets in Milwaukee here in 2016 are going to be for this week, the most significant business. By the way, some of those names, Scott Murray, Daniel Preuss, John Woolrobby, Chris Eskett, our listeners will recognize many of these names as guests here on Issues Etc. We're broadcasting live from the 66th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in Milwaukee on the Sunday night, July the 10th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
The church's music from the 2nd century. The 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Temptation, promiscuity, marriage, homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Sexual Morality in a Christless World. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or find out more by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Learn the truth about sexual morality from a reasoned Christian perspective with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Sexual Morality in a Christless World.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On the Sunday evening, July the 10th, we are broadcasting from the 66th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're actually talking about that convention. We dealt before the break with Dr. Martin Nolan about what happened today at the beginning of the convention, some significant elections, and now we're turning to the issues that this convention faces, not so much in their chronological order, but in the order of significance in relationship to one another. Marty, what would you say if we had to have the things that are on the docket for this convention, the issues that this convention's been asked to deal with, what are the most significant ones? Just pick one and let's start going through the list.
The first important thing you do is elect people, and not just the president. I have to keep telling people this. I remember at one of my first or second conventions, and the president was elected, and then one of the delegates left. And I was in the hall as he was leaving. I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going home. I did all I needed to do." I said, "No, you don't." And I explained to him, I said, "You know, in the Missouri Synod, we're a democratic organization, and we limit the power of our president." I said, "All these other things, all these different offices are designed, each one of those have certain responsibilities, and the president can't go in there and do anything unless something really, really goes bad." I said, "So if you're just going to deal with the president, you're leaving everything else up in the open." So the point of that is that the elections that will be, the nominations will be going through tomorrow, and then the elections that follow through the next couple of days are very significant for all of our institutions and our outreach. So that's maybe obvious to some people, but not to others. So now let's get to the issues, mm-hmm. and et cetera. Is that a joke? I'm sorry. But
it's something.
It's not a real joke. Let me reference an article I wrote back in June 2016 in the Lutheran Clarion. They have it on their website. Their website is lutheranclarion.org, and it's titled "A Quick Look at the 2016 LCMS Convention Workbook." Now, the way that we do our work in the Synod is we publish this workbook with overtures that come directly from congregations, not from individuals, but from congregations. So St. John on the Hill in Maryville, Illinois can send in an overture which describes with some whereases and some resolves what they want the Synod to do. And it can be any number of things. And then the overtures go to what we call floor committees, and the floor committees try to take duplicates and put them together into one, and if there's problems with an overture, they try to make it sound better, take out objectionable elements, and try to focus on what the folks at St. John, Maryville, Illinois, wanted to actually be done. And then these become resolutions, and the resolutions are what the convention has already been dealt with in the area of national, international missions and Reformation. I don't think they've, the only one of those they finished was the Reformation. So they have a whole ton, that's not literally, but a whole ton of resolutions that they have read through, hopefully, at least got some idea of what's going on, and they'll be voting on this. In the process, they may amend it, and the final thing then will become either something that boards and officers have to follow and to carry out the will of the Synod, or it commends something to individual congregations and church workers. Now, the president of the Synod said in his report in the convention workbook, you can look at this in pages 1-6, and he said in that report, the first report of the president, the three most significant things was dealing with the issue of licensed lay deacons, the problem of district confederacy, and the visitation function of ecclesiastical supervisors, that's district presidents and district visitors. And I agree with him on all those are the three most important things. They may not be the most contentious. They might be. We don't know until we get to the actual consideration of those. But they are the most difficult and probably the most far-reaching. And from the standpoint of the president, where his job is to oversee the doctrine and the doctrinal practice of the synod, these are the most important things. And I agree that these are most important issues before us.
Let's deal briefly with the licensed lay deacon issue that stands before this convention.
Okay.
How would you, in 3 minutes or so, how would you explain what's at play here, what's at stake here?
In 1989, the Synod at the Wichita Convention decided that it would accept lay deacons, and this would be something more than a congregation elders, but they would have the ability to administer the word and the sacraments, so to preach. And this was designed, or at least it was sold with the idea that it would be just used in extreme circumstances, perhaps when a pastor suddenly died and it would take 6 months to get a new one. And there are places out in the West, I'm from the West Coast, and there are places in Nevada, for example, and Utah. I mean, there are Lutherans in Utah, after all.
One or two, yeah.
There are congregations there. It is hard in many places in the West and even in the South and the East to find good Lutheran churches, or any Lutheran churches. And so in those places where they only have a few people, people came up with the idea, well, why don't we just let somebody do the pastor thing, and we don't need to give them any training, and we probably can't pay him to be a real pastor, but we'll let them do the pastor thing, and then we got a congregation. Well, that was maybe some people's idea. I think there was a mixture of different ideas that went into that in 1989, but as a result, when the floor committee, the task force worked on this for the last 3 years, you got to admire these guys because they did a lot of work. And if you look at their report, there's something where they have a chart, and they break down all the different types of licensed lay. We have 8 different types of licensed lay deacons now.
It's a mess.
It is a mess. And so whatever 89 wanted to do is not the way it's resulted in. And so then the idea here is, let's put some structure on this, and let's, the guys that are capable of getting some seminary training, let's get them some type of training, because they can do this online now. You know, both seminaries do online seminary courses on a regular basis, so it's not difficult on that way. And then eventually, those congregations that have had this eventually will phase this out and instead have it's the SMP. What is that? Specific pastor. I'm getting it mixed up because they got
specific ministry pastors.
Specific ministry pastors. And they have less training and less qualifications. That is, their credentials are less before they get seminary training, and they come out with less. But they still, the specific ministry pastors get seminary training at one of our two seminaries. And that's better than what they've been getting. And so the proposal is, it's very complex, but it tries to retain every single congregation that currently has a ministry, but to upgrade all the ministers that are out there serving as lay deacons.
Yeah. When we come back, we're going to talk about the theological significance of that licensed lay deacon issue that lays before the 66th Convention of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. It's actually a confessional issue dealing with one of the articles of the Augsburg Confession, the 14th, by the way. Dr. Martin Noland is our guest, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Evansville, Indiana, and past director of the Concordia Historical Institute. About another 10 minutes with him as we talk about what faces the 66th LCMS Convention in preview. Stay tuned.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christ Lutheran is a welcoming congregation in Rochester, Minnesota, providing traditional liturgy and hymns, word and sacraments. Call 507-289-0271. That's 507-289-0271, or visit ChristRochester.org. Christ Lutheran Church, receiving and sharing Christ's mercy.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. At the 66th Convention of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, on this Sunday night, July the 10th, we're getting a little preview of the issues facing the LCMS Convention with Dr. Martin Noland, past director of the Concordia Historical Institute. We were talking before the break about the issue of licensed lay deacons. This is actually an issue that bears upon our confessions, the Lutheran Confessions, Article 14 of the Augsburg Confession, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and that's the Article 14 in Latin says "rite vocatus," which means properly called. In the Book of Concord, it means properly called, ordained. It means the whole process. It doesn't just mean the call you get from the congregation. So the issue here is that we are a synod. We're not a bunch of districts that are held together by a slender thread. We are a synod that's supposed to be united together in doctrine and in the practice that is mandated by Scripture and confessions. And so we want all of our professional church workers to have the sort of training so they understand what those doctrines are, and that we know before they go out to a congregation that they agree with them. Now, you know, there are people that come through the system of training and they don't always tell the truth, and they get out there and then they're not doing or teaching what they were taught. But we have to at least give them that opportunity. And so this is part of it, trying to build confessional faithfulness for all of our church workers. And the other part of it is that they're not recognized. These licensed lay deacons have some type of job, but they're not recognized by their synod. They're not in the Lutheran annual.
They're not ordained.
They're not ordained. They're not really anything. And I think that's disrespectful for somebody that is actually administering the word and sacraments. They should be treated as pastors. But they should also, in order to be treated as pastors, have the proper education so that they're able to do the work of pastors in a proper Lutheran way. So this is what we're trying to accomplish. I think the former district president of the Nebraska district, Russ Sommerfeld, gave an overview of the work of that committee today. I thought he did a very good job of explaining it. I think that the convention will do the right thing, but it may take a while, and there probably will be a lot of people at the mics that are very unhappy about it.
The other issue that we wanted to talk about has to do with theological supervision. Explain that one to us, if you would. We've got about 3 minutes.
This is a very complex issue, but basically things have evolved in the bylaws, more in the bylaws of the Synod than the Constitution, that a district president can do things and he's accountable to nobody except for his district. And that's wrong. This was never the intent of our founders. The districts were merely administrative units. They were not intended to be a region where they would adapt themselves as Lutherans to the current culture, whatever that is. But that's what we've got today. I'm from the West Coast, and I can tell you the West Coast does that. They have problems with that. And they know that I feel this way about it, too. Why should we be Missouri Synod except that we follow the scriptures, which gives us structure, but also gives us freedom. And we follow the confessions, which gives us structure, but also gives us freedom. And if we can't agree on that, go join your own church body or start your own or something. But so we've got this ongoing problem of districts that they elect a district president that's kind of the way they want it to be, and they kind of thumb their nose at the rest of the Synod, and that's not right.
And this is simply calling for increased accountability of every pastor operates under accountability
exactly.
to a theological supervisor.
Exactly.
We're simply asking our district presidents to operate under some theological accountability.
Theological accountability to the president of the Synod and the convention. That is the Synod convention. So it's not just one man, but... And I don't know how the final result of this floor committee is going to show up. It could be, you know, it could be a complicated thing, and that's fine. Have several hands, but at least have the district under the supervision of the Synod in some real practical way.
With only a minute here, Marty, speak to just this, and that is we never get perfect solutions with
right.
this system, and there's no
right.
system that would give us a perfect solution.
Right.
We always have to take baby steps and sometimes take
right.
the wrong step, unfortunately. But this is simply the most efficient way of doing what we have agreed together to do. Talk about that for 1 minute, if you would.
Yeah, it's always, you're right, and you never want to do too much at one time because you cannot foresee unintended consequences. So if you make too big of a jump, there's going to be too many areas or too many factors that come into play. So if you see a problem and you do just a little bit of improvement, then you can wait and see how that works. And if there weren't any bad unintended consequences, then you can move more toward the direction that needs to be done. So I think this convention probably is going to make some minor changes in that area. One area they'll probably do a lot of changes is dispute resolution, which is our judicial body in our church body. And that's needed some work for a long time, and most people know that. But in the area of relationship of districts to synod, it's not going to, the president of the Senate says he doesn't want any drastic changes there, but some form of accountability. And I think that needs to be done if we're going to hold together as a synod.
Dr. Martin Noland is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Evansville, Indiana. He is also past director of the Concordia Historical Institute. Marty, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you for
being
me.
Our guest.
Thank you very much.
Coming up in about 20 minutes at 10 Central on Satellite Radio XM Sirius Family Talk Channel 131, you will hear my interview with Mary Eberstadt on religious freedom and secular orthodoxy, talking about secular orthodoxy as a religion in itself, not a competition between the religious freedom of Christians and secular ideas, but in fact, recognizing secular orthodoxy as a religion in itself, that if it is a religion, ought to have religious freedom equal to that of Christianity, and the Christians ought to have a religious freedom equal to that of all others as well. That's 10 Central tonight on Family Talk 131, Sirius XM, Issues, Etc. on Satellite Radio. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to this special live Sunday night broadcast from the 66th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So long from Milwaukee.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.